Hey folks, just a quick note to let you know, this holiday season you can support the podcast by shopping on Amazon.com. Just go to the specific page on Nerdist.com for this episode of the podcast and click on the Amazon banner, then shop as you normally would, and we get a little taste.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode, let's go with 104 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Upcoming shows in January, we're going to be back at San Francisco Sketchfest, January 29, 30, and 31. For more details, go to sfsketchfest.com. But now let's go back to the last Bay Area show at the Nightlight in Oakland on August 10th, 2014, and hear Joey Devine, Natasha Muse, Leslie Small, and Mary Van Note reading pieces they wrote in advance based upon topics of their choosing. Enjoy.
Please welcome your first round one comic of the prepared piece, Mary Van Note, ladies and gentlemen.
August 10th, 2014, from Comedy Central's news headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart smiled and smirked, what you think would be for the immense applause, but no, he smiled because of the presence of his immense manhood resting against his chair, between his hallowed, hairy thighs. He smiled because on this show, John was completely naked from the waist down. Unbeknownst to viewers and to the horror of his staff, John Stewart's greatest fetish is to be Winnie the Pooh nude. And besides, it was going to be a great show. His favorite person in the world was his guest tonight. On tonight's program, Bill O'Reilly will be joining us. The show went off without a hitch. His jokes about Israel and his beloved New Jersey accent made this audience horny for more. A segment with his correspondents, Jason Jones and Samantha Bee, making out heavily on each other like green screen and JPEGs, made the crowd moist from their electric heat. Jon Stewart could feel the sexual energy in the room. Intense pheromones were in the air like clever pun graphics. His manhood rose like the words in the teleprompter. Please welcome Bill O'Reilly. Bill came out smiling, smirking, his book emblazoned on the screen, Killing Jesus. When John stood up to shake his hand, so did his cock. Like Jesus rising from the dead on the third day. Bill looked surprised. Bill and John stood there for a moment, a steely stare between them. Hard, like a bulging, veiny, pulsing, throbbing boner. Bill's eyes wandered down to see John's luscious boom mic. He couldn't maintain his fierce exterior. He started to weep with joy. John, I know you and I have had our differences, but seeing you being so open with who you are, you have inspired me. Many people find me angry and harsh. It's not because of my political leanings. It's because I've been unhappy. I felt like I've had to hide my true self. Well, I'm not going to hide anymore. Bill pulled down his pants, and like a rock being rolled from Jesus' tomb, there stood a glorious sight, a beautiful, radiant, and sparkling vagina. Smiling wide for everyone to see. John said, oh, Bill, deep down I always knew you were a sweet, Sweet cunt. Now give it to me. The audience roared with delight as John dove headfirst into Bill's pussy, laughing at it with a kind of ferocity you only see from former high school drama kids at a Daily Show correspondent audition. But then the audience roared louder as Stephen Colbert ran into the room, raising his hands to the crowd, placing a hand behind his ear, asking for more, then taking multiple bows. He ran between them. How dare you two? You call yourselves Americans? This is some kind of French mumbo-jumbo. You have no right to judge us, said Bill. And then Bill and John said in unison, I made you what you are. You made this, said Stephen, unveiling the two recent Emmys he won. Just like this, said John, pulling out his golden Emmy, stroking it up and down. That's your penis, said Colby. No, said John, it's my Peabody Award. Mesmerized by John's enormous award, Stephen yells, oh, I give you the Colbert bump! Tears off his clothes and dives towards John's ass as Bill goes mouth first for John's Johnson. The audience, entranced with human heat, bursts into climactic screams. Amidst the noise, John yells, and here it is, your moment of sin! Bill takes John out of his mouth and aims John's dick like a licensed, responsible gun owner. And John's monstrous cum showers the audience. They cheer and cheer as the applause light blinks, like blood pumping through the veins of a giant erection now coming down. Lights down. And that's a wrap.
Mary Van Note.
Thank you, Mary.
Keeping up with Natasha Means.
Hey, everybody. This is called The Insurance Lizard Fucks That One Lady M&M. She didn't know what she was doing walking back into the office of this lusty lizard, but she knew it was right. He didn't know what he was doing, setting himself up for a tiny office in a huge building. After all, he was just an insurance spokesman. And the lizard, but he knew it was right. When she walked into his office, he was done for. A marked man, his time, like the jig, was up. She was all curves. Specifically, she was all one curve. But it covered her entire body. And for some reason, the Geico Gecko couldn't resist it. He was all hemipenes. Specifically, he was two hemipenes. And although he couldn't cover her with insurance, he would do his damnedest to cover her with a sticky, mucus-like substance which contained his sperm. And it would be good. Miss Brown, it's good to see you again, said the reptile. Shut the fuck up and get your scaly ass over here, said the oversized, talking piece of candy-covered chocolate. The gecko scrabbled off his hardwood chair and across the floor to her. He grabbed her roughly and began to lick and suck at her sweet shell with his rough tongue and lipless oral cavity. Oh, God, I just melt in your mouth, she said. Now rub your clawed foot against my ampersand. As he mumbled his assent to his M&M lover, a rich but angry middle-aged white man kicks in the door and bursts into the small room. The only thing that should fuck an M&M is another M&M, he shouts. It was M&M. He was mad, and he had a rage boner two sizes too big. The Geico spokesman had two rage boners, each one size too big. Those are the hemipenes I mentioned earlier. M&M produces a tiny brown strap-on dildo and instructs the lady M&M to put it on. She smiles. You got it, Slim Shady. She slips into it like a professional as Marshall Mathers drops his drawers. Geico Gecko finally speaks up. What the fuck is going on? Ms. Brown spits on her new dick. I'm going to fuck this dude in the ass is what the fuck is going on. She slides into M&M easily. He's pretty tight, but it's a pretty small dildo. She pumps away, and honestly, it's pretty adorable. Who the fuck is this guy? Who am I? Eminem wraps his hand around the lizard's tail. His palms are sweaty. I'm your worst nightmare. Eminem rips a tail from his body and shoves the long, wriggling thing into the gecko's mouth. They can regenerate their tails. This is another huge turn-on for the little masochist, and his right hemi penis shoots his load in response. Now I want you to shut the fuck up and get your gecko ass on the wall, see? As he mumbles his assent to Eminem, his Eminem's lover's lover, a rich but angry middle-aged white man knocks on the doorframe. Did someone say gecko ass on Wall Street? It was Gordon Gecko from Wall Street, the movie. Gordon immediately goes to the gecko lizard and begins to lick his gonads. For a beautiful moment, it's silent in the office. Only the sounds of Eminem on Eminem action side by side with gecko on gecko action fill the room. Eminem, still getting his brown eye filled by Ms. Brown, tells Gordon Gecko to take off his slacks so he could fuck him in the ass. Gordon unbuckles his belt, saying, "Greed is good, but when you're greedy for fucking, you know that's better than good. Greedy for fucking is great." Suddenly, a pea-green bounty hunter from another galaxy pops his head into the now crowded office. His large, pitch-black, soulless eyes scan the room. Does someone say greedo for fucking is great? The Rhodian alien smiles. Everyone laughs as Greedo gets down on his knees and massages Eminem's rage boner. He's always so angry. With his suction cup-tipped fingers until Gordon Gecko is ready to be entered. Anyway, says Gordon Gecko as he takes all 5 inches of the Slim Shady's misplaced aggression. Fucking, for lack of a better word, is amazeballs. It's amazeballs with an awesome sauce. Fucking is right. Fucking works. Fucking clarifies. Cuts through and... Gordon trails off as all eyes are now back on Greedo, who is now quickly taking off his sand-pressive pants to reveal the naked lower half of his body. Greedo has a regular human dick for some reason. He can tell everyone's a little disappointed he's not packing some unusual, unearthly unit, but if he gave a fuck about what other people thought, he wouldn't be Greedo. He shoves his average-sized pecker into the mouth of the Geico Gecko and then lifts him up and waves him around on the tip of it. It looks like he has a little green flag on his dick, and everyone laughs. Greedo then grabs a lizard's body and uses it to masturbate, slowly pushing the gecko further down onto his perfectly normal-looking penis, crushing all of his internal organs and whatnot as he slides him up and down his shaft. This sexually abusive treatment is too much for our little tailless friend, and he manages to explode from his second hemi penis seconds before succumbing to the severe trauma inflicted on his fragile body. Then it's like a chain reaction, and they all climax. First the gecko, then the M&M, then gecko, then M&M. And then just as Greedo is about to follow suit, Harrison Ford steps in from nowhere and comes on all five of them because, as everybody knows, hand shot first.
Natasha Williams. Good job, man. Give it over to Joey Devine.
Overrated American singer-songwriter Billy Joel sat in a jail cell pondering his life. In his 65 years, he was good at two things: singing insufferable story songs and getting DUIs. Currently, he was sitting in a jail cell because of the former. This was his 22nd DUI, and the inmates were getting restless. C. Money, a petty criminal in for punching a police horse and claiming he was trying to pet it, yelled in the once angry young man's face, "Sing us a song, Billy. Sing us a song tonight. You better make it a good one, or we'll turn your ass into a river of dreams." Billy explained that the alcohol abuse had ruined his voice, and now he composed symphonies. But the inmates weren't having it. "Sing us a song," they said, "and make it sexy." So Billy started singing. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. The regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin. He's really fucking it, like dick in a pint glass. He's super into quinine. It's sick. Billy rasped as he played a toothbrush that was crudely fashioned into a shiv / harmonica. He says, "Son, can you take me to climax? I'll give you 1,000 blows. I'll take out my teeth, and I know you'll complete. If it helps, I'll wear women's clothes." The entirety of Cell Block B burst into song, singing the la-las Billy wrote so many years ago. Like Oliver Twist with more face tattoos. "Suck us a dong, you're the piano man. Ride on our cocks tonight. Well, we're all in a mood for an orogy, and you've got us coming all night. I'll tickle your ivories if you know what I mean." He sang and then played the shiv. "Now John at the bar is a friend of mine. He sucks on my dick for free. And he's quick with the lube or to ride on your tube, but there's some place that he'd rather be." He says, "Bill, I need you to fuck me," as his pants fell away from his waist. "Well, I'm sure that I could be a porno star if you would just come on my face." The horny inmates sang again. "Now Paul is a sailor enthusiast who can't get it up for his wife, and he's sucking off Davey, who's making man gravy, and probably will be for life." Billy sang, "It's not important to mention that he's in the Navy because they repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell." Blowing that shiv like he did on 1977's The Stranger, hoping he wouldn't have to blow one tonight. And the waitress is practicing dominance as the businessman sucks on her toes. Yes, they're sharing a thing they call deviance, but it's better than jerking alone. "My initials are BJ for a reason," he said, really jamming on the shiv now. "Come on our tits, you're the piano man. Bukkake with us tonight. Well, we're all in the mood for an orogy, and you've got us horny tonight." Billy sang, "In retrospect, I should have made the chorus P-enus man." Billy laughed, enjoying himself for the first time since Christy, his uptown girl, left. The harmonica rollicking. It's the filthiest crowd for a Saturday, and the manager gives me a smile. Because he knows it's my P, they stick in their V to live in a sex-positive lifestyle. That was so stupid. That's the stupidest thing I've ever written. And the orgasms sound like a carnival, and the rim jobs are lubed up with beer. And they fuck on the bar and put cum in my jar and say, "Don't call your asshole a jar. It's really, really weird." The inmates sang the laws, enjoying every minute. "Fuck us so hard, you're the piano man. Finger our buttholes tonight. Well, we're all in the mood for an orgy, and you've got us coming all night." As he finished his tune, Billy said, "I just hope what no one has a heart attack, ack, ack, ack." And he heard a guard call out, "Joel, you made bail." And Billy thought to himself, "That was fun. I'm going to get drunk and drive again. I kind of feel like writing We Didn't Fuck the Fire later tonight." Thank you.
Joey Devine!
Thanks, man.
And your final round one competitor, Leslie Small. Hey.
Hey, guys. This is the night of Cinderella's wedding. As the horse-drawn carriage pulled away from the church, a ceremony that was the most fancy that the village had ever seen, inside was a blushing bride and her prince and a whole shitload of sexual tension. As that door shut, they pawed at one another,
with a fevered pitch of two people who don't know one another. The way that you can only make out with someone who's brand new. And it felt so good. They wanted to make good on the promises they made to each other that night that they danced at the ball. And as the prince leaned into her ear and breathed, "So I heard you were into some really freaky shit." She sighed coyly and looked up at him. "Yeah, I hope you're able to handle it, though." As he slid his hand up her silky dress and felt around her wet goodness. There was something hard and foreign that he felt the need to look at. As he flipped up her dress, he saw the most beautiful gilded butt plug he'd ever seen. Ornate. And a size that you couldn't even order in any of these kingdoms. He was impressed. He leaned back. "Oh my, that surely is a magnificent butt plug." She said, "Thank you. It was my mother's." She used it before she died, and the night she died specifically. "You said you were into butt play and I wanted to make it good. But don't worry, my prince, or my husband now. I have something for you as well." She reached into her satchel and pulled out the most beautiful box, ornate gold, pearls, jewels, everything you've seen. As she opened it slowly, he heard a squeak. A squeak. And as the box opened, out popped Gus Gus. She said, "I brought him with me. He's always been so kind. Plus, he does things you've never, ever seen before." She said, "Gus, Gus, go!" And with that, he climbed up the prince's pant leg and quickly into his anal cavity, burrowing deep, yes, and deeper still. Gus, Gus had done this before. This wasn't his first rodeo. That's why he was already pre-lubed in Vaseline. That's right, as he burrowed deeper, the prince said, "Oh my, you know how to party." And called to the driver, "Please, go to the secret entrance. We can't see them, like, we can't have them see us like this." The driver said, is it cool if I join?" Cinderella looked at the prince and pursed her lips, said, "No, he cannot join, but he can watch. We need someone to hold the spotlight anyways." And they proceeded along the way, all the way to the carriage, just enjoying each other and the butt plugs, respectively, animal or otherwise. It was magical. And as they got to the room, she said, "Don't worry, I have a friend there waiting too." He was confused, but intrigued, thinking about all the bitches he fucked while he looked for Cinderella. And praying that it was that one busty girl who was willing to do anything to prove that she was Cinderella when he totally knew she wasn't. But he let her do those things for the good of the kingdom, as any prince would. As they got to the room, it was empty, and he was a little bit concerned. But Cinderella dropped to her knees and said, "I need you to say three words for me." He was confused and muttered, I love you?" She said, "No, not that, bitch. Three words that I long to hear. Bibbidi, bobbidi, boop." And with that, boom, the fairy godmother appeared in all of her glorious robes, but they were slightly unbuttoned. Revealing a body which was poetry in motion. Yeah. I mean, it was shitty poetry written by a drunken sailor on a ship, but still, poetry in motion. A pair of the sweetest biker tits you've ever seen. It looked like they had spent their life pressed up against a biker's back, just slaying to the sides. Saying hello. Once there were headlights, now there are just blinkers, you know? It was good. And she had the magical wand, and magical it was, as she pressed it around the prince's lips, tracing them gently and sliding it in and out. Bibbidi, bobbidi, boop. And his penis got harder and harder. She said, bibbidi, bobbidi, boop. And it turned into a dragon dildo right in front of their eyes. It was magnificent. Yet, as Cinderella went to tear off his dress shirt, she noticed, "What? Why are your nipples inverted?" He said, "Don't worry about it. It was an accident. Once I get going, they'll pop out, I swear." And get going, they did. With Gus Gus lodged deep in his anal canal. And the wand propped firmly in his mouth. The fairy godmother, who they assured wasn't an actual godmother by any sort of relation. She used to party with the mom back in the day. So it's cool. Don't be weird about it, man. She banged Cinderella in every possible way. And it was magical. You could see the fairy dust just... That's what they came, was fairy dust. It was beautiful, but it started to get hard to see. They didn't realize how long they had been at it. And then, with growing fear in her eyes, she heard, boom, boom, boom. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Gus Gus, come here, Gus Gus, come here. Quickly, quickly, get out, get out. As the clock struck 12, Gus Gus was transformed into his human form. Inside of the prince. And that is the story of how Cinderella became the queen.
Leslie Small. Leslie, you can stay right here. Leslie, you can come back up. Everybody from round one back up on stage. Big round of applause for everybody from round one. But she is still eligible for victory, so don't forget, Mary Van Note. Before you vote, I'm just going to remind you of what everybody read. We had Mary Van Note with The Daily Show, then Natasha Muse with the Geico Gecko and the M&M Lady and all the other people that were involved in that. Joey Devine with Billy Joel, and Leslie Small with Cinderella. So pick a favorite with your applause, starting with Mary Van Note, The Daily Show. Natasha Muse, Geckos and M&M's. Joey Devine, Billy Joel. Leslie Small, Cinderella. Your round one champion, Leslie Small with Cinderella, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic first round. Thank you so much.
That does it for round one. To hear round two, you can download episode 105 next week. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate on iTunes. And for details on more upcoming shows, follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.